Hello and welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses. They're the disruptors, yet not on your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they are building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. They allow principles to take precedence over ad hocism. For them, profitability is as much important as scale, creating and leading new categories and innovation. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, agonies, and ecstasies. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms. For the inaugural episode, I'm delighted to have Sampath Swain, co-founder and CEO InstaMojo. Sampath, a graduate from IBS Hyderabad, worked in ITC and the Godrej Group before setting sail on his entrepreneurial journey. InstaMojo, meaning instant magic, drew from Sampath's first project, instastartup.com, inspired by Sampath's favorite Harry Potter's mojo. Welcome to the show, Sampath. Delighted to host you.
Thanks, Gaurav. Happy to be here.
Okay, tell us about the InstaMojo story. You are 10 years old now. How has the journey been? Are you beginning to feel the first pangs of adolescence?
Oh, well, that's a very interesting question. I don't know when you call a company adolescent, but yes, we finished our 10th year, and it's been quite a journey. The couple of things that kind of gets highlighted in the overall journey. First is when we started the business, we were a payments gateway company built for small and micro businesses of India who wanted to kind of come online and start selling their products and services without the need of integrating a payment gateway. So we decided to kind of build an innovative new product called Payment Link, which was one of a kind, which enabled a seller to basically start accepting payments without building a website or integrating any tech components of payment gateway. And in few clicks, the idea was that we will allow this seller to basically start accepting payments in few clicks, which is basically to create a payment link and share it across their network. And eventually the network would basically click those payment links and then go ahead and make a payment. So in the process, we abstracted much of the complexity that kind of goes along with integrating a payment gateway. So it was quite innovative. We in fact started off by helping a lot of creators to basically come online and start accepting payments, because most of the creators, while they are tech savvy, they were not versed with the heavy lifting of integrating a payment gateway in terms of HTML, CSS, and API integrations and everything. So that's how we got started. And over a couple of years, we kind of scaled the business quite rapidly. We focused on simplifying the overall experience of the payment link to an extent than that literally our grandmothers can use. So that's kind of the overall idea. While we were scaling, obviously the market kind of shaped, reshaped, developed immensely. Initially with demonetization, then UPI, then we realized that the margins of the payment business is shrinking. That led to a pivotal moment that we realized that possibly a standalone payment gateway might not exist in India, and much of the payment gateways back in the days had to pivot to become more like a fintech platform. And we were not keen to kind of pursue the fintech ambition. On the other side, we realized that since we're catering to the small and micro businesses, and they need to kind of accept payments. And we have been catering to them for almost like 6-7 years. We realized that their requirement is not just payment. Payment is obviously one of the most critical component of their business. We pivoted to more of an enabling commerce platform. You can also call it as a D2C tech platform, which helps the similar kind of businesses who erstwhile were using us for payments are now using InstaMojo to drive commerce, where we provide them a one-stop shop to basically set up their e-commerce platform in terms of front-end and back-end, where they can develop their own storefront, where they can add their products or SKUs, as we call it. On the back-end, we have order management, CRM, marketing, logistics, of course, payments, which comes pre-integrated. So in a nutshell, that's kind of how we kind of started with a initial insight of creating a payment gateway where there's no integration or a website requirement, to pivoting a full-fledged D2C tech platform where any D2C brand basically can start her journey from first sale to full scale. So that's a quick snapshot of how the last 10 years has been for us.
Interesting. And this is a fourth crack at entrepreneurship after Wanamo.com, In Startup, Deals in You, isn't it? And so what were the lessons that you took from these into InstaMojo, where, if I may say so, you have found your mojo?
There are a couple of insights, and the most highlighting one, let me take you through it, right? So first insight was that the age of non-online small businesses is over for good, right? Because we believe that currently any kind of business, from your local Panwari shop to a large brand like a Mama Earth, right? They all have to be online one reason or the other, right? That's point number one. Point number two is getting online is no longer a matter of choice for any one of them. Like, you can see Panwari basically on a Google map, right? At one side of the spectrum, to a large D2C brand having their own brand website where they're driving sales. Unfortunately, right, some of those businesses are less online than the others. So if you think about the overall spectrum, on the left-hand side, there are businesses like Panwari who are listed on Google. They're less online, according to us. And then there is larger D2C brands who are more online. And then there are people in between who are using social platforms like Instagrams and others, or WhatsApp to drive sales, or listing on marketplaces, and so on and so forth, right? As most of them want to be more online, obviously for good reasons, but being online is complicated, to say the least, because it requires a whole host of new tools, which you have to kind of understand, then make use of to basically continue running your business. And that is where the problem started, right? Because as you use multiple products across multiple domains, like you have to build your website and store, then integrate a payments platform, support, shipping, marketing, invoicing, CRM, and the whole nine yards, it gets really complicated for a small and a tiny business owner to handle it, right? So what we kind of figured that, hey, what if we basically create a one-stop shop where everything is drag and drop, which enables them to basically go from that first sale to full scale in few clicks at zero cost, right? So let's reduce the barrier of entry for any small business owner who is envisioning to become the next big D2C brand, to basically allow them to onboard herself on InstaMojo and basically drive her sales directly to her consumers, right? And that is where we came with the overall concept that what we need to become is BOSS, B-O-S-S, we call it the business operating system for small businesses, right? Which allows them to start, manage, and grow her business seamlessly. Beginning, obviously, you don't have to spend a lot of money. You have to only spend time to set up everything else. And as you scale, you can basically then opt for our paid subscription plans, which enables you to do more. So that's kind of the larger insight, Gaurav, we drove, that from businesses who were not thinking online, now they have no opportunity other than to be online, then kind of handhold them to come on a platform like ours and then seamlessly scale their business.
Absolutely. And, you know, a question that often comes to my mind when I look at InstaMojo is, how do you describe your company? How would you describe your company? Are you an aggregator, a marketplace, a payment gateway, a fintech company, a logistics player, or something else? And who do you see as your competitor?
Yeah, it's an intriguing question, because a lot of the terminologies we use are intertwined, right? So what we classify ourselves is a D2C tech company. Now, let me kind of double click what I mean by that. Now, there are two kind of D2C companies. One are D2C brands like Mama Earth, like Boat, and so forth, who aspire to become the next consumer brand. And then the whole host of companies like us who are enabling commerce for them. And we classify ourselves as D2C tech company. Our key competitors are basically varied. Obviously, there are a lot more entrenched global players, like Shopify is one of them, WooCommerce is one of them, and far few in between. So that's kind of how we classify. The next point is all the words you used, which is fintech, D2C, and everything is intertwined, because we are not just enabling commerce, but we end up enabling the entire spectrum of commerce, like onboarding on a platform, getting them a seamless way to basically set up their store, which is the D2C tech part. Then payments is pre-integrated, right. Which is the fintech part of the whole equation. Then there is a marketing angle, which is the martech comes in the picture, right? Mm. And then logistics and everything, right? So it's a combination of all these fancy words, if I may, to bring together a seamless experience. So that at the end of the day, see, we don't want our merchants to experience all these big words. What she needs is very simple. I want to sell XYZ product directly to my consumer. How easily and in a cost-efficient way can you allow me to basically onboard myself without a lot of heavy lifting? Because typically these are not like more than 5-10 people company, right? There's a tiny, small, nano or micro company, right? So that's how the entire journey works on our platform.
Right. You briefly mentioned about the decision to pivot from being essentially a payment link provider to what you are now. But my question is a little different. My question is, every pivot is also a giant leap of faith, howsoever small the pivot might be. So what were the risks that you had foreseen? How have these risks played out once you have pivoted since 2012?
When we started, founded the company in 2012, launched in 2013, we were in the business of explaining why internet is important for businesses to adapt and adopt, right? And we have to kind of go a decade back to realize it. To the world where now we're explaining the businesses that, hey, internet is here to stay. You need to really understand and appreciate to scale your business. And this entire journey happened in few phases. First, in 2016, end of 2017, demand happened, right? We saw a deluge of businesses who had no option but to accept payments digitally, right? And we have to appreciate the fact that most of these payments are happening not on a face-to-face basis. This is happening remotely, where you're sitting in Delhi, I'm sitting in Bangalore. Obviously, you can't handle cash. So digital payments got a huge thrust. Then late 2017, early 2018, UPI was formulated / launched, right? Which was a pivotal moment, to say the least. And that is where we started seeing cracks in the overall commercial / business model of the payments company. And I erstwhile I mentioned an insight that we realized a standalone payment gateway may not exist in India, because the entire margin structure, because payment is typically a low margin business, may not exist. Because what we understood that point of time was, if UPI takes off, that means folks like us, consumers, start using UPI more and more than a credit card and other payment instruments, the challenges are UPI is actually a fantastic payment instrument, which is conceptualized as a public good. So essentially, it has to be free, to say the least, for it to adopt, and we have seen how the growth curve of UPI has been over the years, right? Now, because of that, what we realize that if UPI takes off, payment gateway businesses will struggle to basically build a large business from the revenue profit standpoint. And we had a fork in the road. We we had to decide, and this is around mid-2019, we had to decide, hey, either we go on to basically morph InstaMojo payment link / payment gateway into a fintech platform, which is neobanking, lending, and so forth, or we make use of the same businesses that we have been catering and build an entire commerce stack around it, ability for them to drive commerce. Obviously, we chose the latter. And it was complicated and difficult, to say the least, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, because what we realized that for us to pivot from a payment gateway to a D2C tech platform, we had two options. We can build it internally ourselves, or we had to go and scout for opportunities outside in terms of acquire another company and kind of use their technology stack on top of existing InstaMojo platform and then kind of scale it. Obviously, we chose the harder path. We did the latter because most often than not, you know that M&A doesn't work. Here we are sitting around mid to late 2019 and thinking, hey, you're going to pivot using an acquired company. And we did that. And we finished the acquisition in Feb 2020, just a month before COVID. And we all know what happened in COVID. And we think we're extremely lucky, because what happened is COVID was a very interesting and a pivotal moment for us, because it was a downtime for most businesses and for us also, because we got some amount of time to basically use most part of 2020 and early 2021 to integrate this new acquired company, to pivot, integrate on top of InstaMojo's payments platform, and launch the entire D2C tech platform around mid-2021. And the last 18 months, as I say, rest is history, because that business has scaled immensely. So the risks were we would have been shut down, as we have seen multiple times in our journey. Obviously, we're not afraid of it, because we realize that the payoff, if this opportunity works, the D2C tech opportunity works for us, then it's much larger in terms of growth prospect, in terms of revenue prospect, and in terms of impact prospect. And I would say that we really got lucky.
Yeah, great insights. You know, on a lighter note, how often do you feel that you feel like shutting down the business and moving on to do something else because it's getting too much? How many times in a week do you feel that you have come the wrong path?
Actually, that question goes really deep. If you ask any founder, I think most of us are driven not by fear of failure, but fear of trying and catching on a wrong insight and wasting a lot of our time and effort, right? So the question gets popped up in my head pretty much every week.
Likewise, I also run a startup, so I go through similar phases, yes, and I can understand you, and also although in a much lower scale. Okay, moving on, and just pivoting this conversation into a different, onto a different plane, which is the businesses that you're enabling. You know, in many ways, the tiny, micro, nano, and medium and small enterprises are the lifeblood of the Indian economy. They account for about 30% of India's GDP, 45% of merchandise exports, and they employ about an estimated 60 million people. Tell us something about their digital challenges that you have helped solve in terms of specific examples. So, you know, what I want you to do is to tell our listeners that this is a challenge that we often don't notice, but this is a challenge that this is a gap that we have solved for them. And this is how we're enabling them to get access to market, have made them tech-enabled, and brought in a lot of efficiencies in the businesses, and have also actually enabled them to scale to a level that probably at one point in time was completely unimaginable for them.
Yeah, the answer could go for hours if I start explaining.
One or two specific examples from a beneficiary point of view, if you could just highlight, illustrate.
Yes, so at a kernel, if you think about the problem at a kernel level, the problem is one and only one, which is I want to grow my business, i.e. I want to drive more and more sales. So today, if I do 10, I want to do 15, 20, 30, 100,000, and so forth. Right? That is the problem. So if anybody can solve it in a more efficient way, you have hit the pot of gold. That's all about it. Now, if you double click that, then it's far more nuanced than the single sentence I mentioned. That is, how do I drive? Gaurav is a merchant and he is selling, let's say, fantastic gourmet bakery cookies, right? And how do I go about helping Gaurav the merchant to kind of fulfill his destiny, to kind of build Gaurav's cookie as the best cookie brand in the country, right? Let's start from there. So what we realized is, A, let's start off by focusing on very few things. One is, how do I solve that problem across two axes? First is, how do I bring you on board with enough trust that, hey, I will be with you in your first sale to your entire journey of as you build your brand? And that takes a lot of time and effort. And thankfully, because of InstaMojo being in the business and the market, and I believe that we have earned some goodwill that allows to kind of foster that trust for Gaurav the merchant to trust us. Huh, InstaMojo will be able to help me. Second is that, hey, I don't have a lot of money to kind of do all of this to begin with, right? Obviously, I want to spend money, build my business, but I don't have a lot of money to spend right now. So we realized that we cannot do what our Western / global larger counterparts have done, that, hey, you spend a lot of money at the beginning and then you scale from there. We realized that India won't work like that. And internally, we have this adage we began thinking about is, we call it the geofication of Shopify, right? And I think Jio is a fantastic example, because what Jio did, it broke the entire telco market in a very interesting way, saying that everybody gets a Jio connection for free, if you remember, right? Yeah. And today, if I go back and see Jio's ARPU versus Airtel's ARPU, they are not significantly different. So what Jio did was brought the same telco stack for free for each and every Indian. And as they ramp up the business, they realize that, okay, fine, over a period of time, we will monetize the user base and the assets and the value that you're driving. We said, hey, you know, let's copy Mr. Ambani, right? Mm. So we went and said, you know what? I want to compete with Shopify, hopefully over a period of time, outcompete them, at least in my market, which is India, which I know better than them at least. How do I do that? Obviously, I cannot compete with the same product and everything. So we realized that that's where the whole adage of geofication of Shopify, that give the same thing that Shopify is giving for free. Right.
Absolutely.
And then build trust and confidence and their ability to understand and process everything that is happening. Because at the end of the day, we have to realize most Indian merchants, especially D2C brands, it's a new phenomenon. A lot of it got a accelerated boost during COVID because of work from home and so on and so
forth. That's right. Yes.
That itself, Gaurav, was a pivotal and a turning point for us, that insight that can we give everything for free and then build the business as we have gained a certain critical mass. And yeah, so that's how we went about it. So basically, we did very few things really well. Hopefully, we'll do that for a very, very long time to create value for every stakeholder.
So in a way, if I'm a nano entrepreneur somewhere in a tier 2 or tier 3 city, is it okay for me to describe InstaMojo as my super app for getting onto the tech journey on the tech highway?
A lot of buzzwords. Maybe. I think the way they see that is, boss, I have something to sell. I have very less money to start off my digital entrepreneurship journey. InstaMojo is basically my best friend because, A, they don't ask me to pay anything. And as I scale my business, I have to make use of InstaMojo's higher price products. And that is how we went about it, saying, you know, Gaurav, you start by not paying us anything. And as you scale the business, you will want to use this 2, 5, 10, 20 other new features, which are paid products. And that makes complete sense, right? And our whole model is very simple. Back in the payment days till now, that we, when you make a lot of money, we make a sliver of that opportunity rather than taking a lot of it to begin with. I don't think the model works. I don't think about other countries, but I know that model doesn't work in India. So that's how we went about it.
And who is a typical InstaMojo user or a beneficiary for that matter? Who is a typical, and can you characterize that person for me?
Yeah, let me take a step back and kind of explain you. And that question itself was a journey for us, because there is this dukandar who is coming online. There is this large D2C brands who are online but selling on marketplaces and wanting to sell through their own website. And then there are marketplace merchants who have been selling on marketplaces, now want to build their own D2C brand because marketplace don't care about your brand. They care about themselves. Across entire landscape of so many different kind of merchants And this is after a lot of brainstorming, we realized our ideal merchant today is this Instagram seller, typically a female, who's sitting at home using her creative juice to basically create something and sell directly to consumers. So today, our average user is an 18 to 35-year-old female on Instagram with, say, about 10,000 to 1 lakh followers, right? Now wanting to move out of Instagram, saying, boss, I want to build my own candle brand or a lifestyle product or a gourmet cookie or a lifestyle accessory or a clothing brand, right? And I need to make it my own. So it has to be my own domain so that I'm a brand who stands out. I build loyalty, I build a following. And so all the followers on my Instagram would actually move on to my website because they've known me, build my product, build my business on Instagram. So that's kind of my ideal TG today. And we typically don't focus on anybody else, to be very honest, Gaurav. Not that we're stopping anybody from using us. But today, if you ask me, I only worry about what is she thinking, who has about, say, 15,000 followers on Instagram, does few lakh rupees of sales, right? What is her need? And how can I help her in her journey?
Right. That's you know, for most businesses, managing cash flows is as important as profitability. Cash, after all, is the fuel that keeps the engine chugging. And you know that more than anyone else. And that is why working capital is such an important piece in running a business. While the bigger ones, you know, the large conglomerates have deep pockets and you know, they manage to ride out any kind of crisis that might come along. And COVID was an example of that. Small and medium businesses, particularly the nano and the micro ones, they do not have a cushion for dipping into mounds of cash reserves. How do you solve this problem for them? Because I believe you are also giving them very, very short-term working capital loans.
Yeah, to your question, I think this problem is extremely deep and complicated. And the opportunity is huge and immense and growing leaps and bounds as we speak, right? And as usual, we realize that we cannot tackle this 800-pound gorilla called working capital cash flows in a jiffy, right? So we started very small, like we always do. We launched a product called Sachet Loan. And as it means, basically what happens is the way the product works is as you sell on the platform, typically it takes at least few days. And if it's a weekend, it takes about a week because weekend banks have holidays and everything. We realize that creates a lot of stress for this nano, small, micro business owner because for her, each and every sale allows her to basically use that to basically either buy inventory, put it back to her business to grow and all of that, right? So we launched this product called Sachet Loan, which allows instant disbursal of her sale back to her bank account as credit, even though technically speaking, that could not be processed back to her account because banks have their own cycle and everything else. So that is the first product, Gaurav, we launched to kind of resolve, if I may, the running working capital problem. Obviously, our aspirations are large. But again, we started at an atomic level today. Idea is as we scale the D2C Tech platform, as we get tens and thousands of more D2C brands using the platform, and use more of the data and understanding, we'll enable more and more credit solutions. And this won't be quick cutter solution that you find in the market. It has to be custom made for them because their needs are much diverse and different. Yeah.
So what would be the average ticket size of a Sachet Loan now?
We're talking about 10,000 to 12,000 rupees.
10,000 rupees, okay. Okay. You know, let me play the devil's advocate for a moment. You are enabling tens of thousands of India's D2C brands to digitize and get access to markets with a great degree of efficiency. But at the same time, it's also increasing their dependency on you. The more they scale through you, the more they become dependent on you. So for them, isn't there a business risk on this?
I think the answer would be yes. Right, it would be wrong of me to say no because that's why it's more important for me to exist, if not profitably, right? But continue to be there alongside. As I said, our whole ambition is to help you, enable you, grow your business from your first sale to full scale, right? So it is imperative for us to exist, to begin with. At the end of the day, as a promoter, as a founder, as a CEO, my job is to basically understand, hey, if we have to exist. How do we make InstaMojo exist for the longest possible period of time, ideally forever, right? So we have to kind of, and as the market goes topsy-turvy, like a couple of years back, market was in a frenzy. Today, market is in downturn because of liquidity crunch. We have to go through all the cycles. And thankfully, God, we have seen that cycle play out over the 10 years period multiple times over. So today we are battle tested, right, to survive, right? So it is important. And yes, if we don't exist, tens and thousands of the small D2C brands who use our platform will find it very challenging, because a platform like us, who provides the whole stack for free to begin with, doesn't exist. Right.
That's right.
So it is important, and we take with us a higher degree of seriousness on that.
Yeah. So if I'm a nano entrepreneur and I am entirely dependent on you for my digital enablement, right, from the payment gateway to the tech stack, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm getting all my customers through you because I'm a pure digital company now. Suddenly something happens to InstaMojo. If you're, you know, I mean, there's a technical problem or there's a collapse or something of that sort happens, then the attendant consequences can actually cascade through tens of thousands of D2C brands. How are you hedging that?
So there are two sides of the equation. One is platform risk, and one is InstaMojo's individual financial risk. Let me take the first one. I think first one is slightly more easier, because we have been a tech product company building digital solutions for small businesses for over a decade now, right? And I think a lot of it has been built into processes that when things go down, where things are not working, what are the modus operandi for each one of them, right? So I think we have done that, I would personally say, really well, and we take a lot of pride in that. I think the uptime for the platform itself is 99.99%, right? And that's publicly shared. We have shared that publicly, and anybody can see if you go to status.instamojo.com, right? That's point number one. On the financial side, the answer is profit, right? Today, InstaMojo is almost EBITDA positive, right? And hopefully, in the near future, will be PAT positive. And as the business scale, hopefully, we will continue to generate free cash. So from revenue to EBITDA to profit to free cash is a journey that we as a company enabling tens and thousands, hopefully millions in the future, we have to take it with a certain degree of seriousness. So that's how, at least from our vantage point, we look at the predicament.
You know, Sampath, you are also sitting on a huge repository of data. This is rich in details of consumer behavioral patterns, product buying patterns, ticket size of transactions, etc., all broken down to geography and location. How are you using this data?
Sure. So today, of course, we are collecting a whole host of data points from merchants, their consumers, their buying patterns, and so on and so forth. Right. Today, most of the data is being consumed internally to create far better, seamless user experience for both sets of users. One is merchants who are our customers, and buyers who are my merchants' customers, right? I think that's the primary use case today. However, I think in the future, the whole idea is to, as we see data across different cohorts of businesses, starting from a bakery to a clothing to an accessory to lifestyle product, so and so forth, our idea is to basically use the data and marry it in such a way that we are able to help them grow their business. If I go back to the initial point I mentioned, that everything that a merchant wants is to grow her business. So that's kind of the overall idea, that today we are using the data to give them a seamless, very easy user experience. Idea is to use more and more data, consume it, and then create and use the data to basically create an opportunity for them to grow their business. So that's how we are going to grow.
Sampath, the reason I asked you the question about data is also because this data is critical for the small D2C businesses that you are enabling. It tells them about who is buying what, where, and how much. While this data is available to them on the dashboard, most of them would not have the wherewithal to collate and get the insights out of this data. Do you also share the insights with them?
Yes, we do. In fact, let me share an anecdote. I think the challenges and problem that we face are slightly more interesting. What I mean by that is we collect a lot more data than we can potentially show to our customers because of the complexity of that information. So we are trying to kind of paddle across, hey, we collect pretty much everything, but how much data can I show without really making it so complex that she is not able to make sense out of it, right? So today, what we do is exactly what you mentioned, and slightly more on their InstaMojo dashboard, where they can see who is buying, what are they buying, from where they're buying, what are the patterns like, what has been in similar cycle, say last month, last quarter, last year, so on and so forth, right? And trying to basically give enough information for her to derive insights, again, which can help her to drive more and more sales without making it so complex that she basically tune off, right? Interesting
Right.
predicament, if I may say so. But today, given where the market is, we realize let's try to kind of not do an information overload, but enough for her to drive insights to grow her business.
Absolutely. And finally, Sampath, what next for InstaMojo? When and what will be the next pivot moment? Are there any plans for getting listed, etc.?
I hope there is no more pivot for us. Next is very simple, to be very honest. As I said, I've always mentioned this again and again that we believe our edge is that we understand SMB software better than e-commerce players and e-commerce industry better than SMB software players, right? I think that's our edge because we are an interesting breed. Because the payment gateway pivoted to a D2C tech platform. So it's a lot of tribal knowledge you have gained over the last decade or so, right? So the next is one of two things. One is to do what you're doing in the most efficient, cost-effective, so that we can amass as many small, nano, micro D2C brands there is in the country to begin with. We'll see the value that you're trying to bring to the table for them. That's one. The second is to basically move up the value chain. As I said, we understood an effect in terms of our distribution strategy, our go-to-market strategy, our monetization strategy for the nano and micro brand, D2C brands. The next is to basically figure out the same drill for small, medium, and large D2C brands, right? So that's basically moving up the value chain to cater to larger and larger D2C brands. That's one. Second, obviously, is to see an opportunity that, hey, is this a problem that you're solving, India problem only, or there's an opportunity to build in India for the world, opportunity as well. On the public side, I think, see, every entrepreneur who, like me, is thinking to build a robust, large, massive platform, right, would want to list for obvious and more reasons, right? But that's something that is far in the future. If you ask me, do I want to? Absolutely, yes, right? Why not, right? Because imagine, and I actually think about it, forget the retail investors. The retail investors are my customers who would know more about our company, our ethos, our principles, more than my own customers, right? But that's sometime in the near future. Today, as I said, my focus is to make the platform more and more simple, more and more user friendly. Second is to move up the value chain to cater to larger and larger brands, while not forgetting that we are still built for the nano and micro D2C brands, right?
Thank you, Sampath, for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation and share those wonderful insights of your entrepreneurial journey, of the inspirations and the pains and agonies and ecstasies of the last 10 years while building InstaMojo into the platform that it has become, enabling tens of thousands of small, nano, micro entrepreneurs all across the country. And thank you so much for being part of Unusual Suspects.
I appreciate it, Gaurav.
Thank you so much.